It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We are off and running for this, the beginning of the second full week of January 2019. It is the 14th day of January 2019. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us. That, of course, is also where you go if you'd like to click on the chat room button and participate in the one and only Merry Wacky Zany real-time multimedia madcap extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and whatever time it is, well, you know, we're pretty much only in here when the program's live. So, I mean, there's that. But if you pick out a screen name and a password, you will be immediately greeted by the likes of Anatole and Sailor Chick and Otto DeShot and Oxhead and Reggie and Squeaky and VT Blom. Yes, indeed, and many more to wander in through the course of the evening. You'll also be, of course, moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although a spacing guild master, has seen the better part of reason in declining to fold space this afternoon and just remaining Sparky. And you'll also be capably moderated by pinch hit midweek chat utility chat room moderator and all around great guy Steve from Georgistan, who I presume pulled together a mean pot of restorative chicken soup this weekend. Yum, yum. It is, of course, now the Trump temper tantrum is now the longest government shutdown in American history. It's one of those things where you look up and go, wow, how did we get here? But it's only a three-hour program, so we can't necessarily answer that question in one program. But a whole lot of what we do here is to sort of figure out how we got here. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and we are off and running for another week of live, independent, liberal, progressive broadcasting and conversation. We have thanks to send out, of course. You might recall we closed the week with $155 to go on a pair of challenges. I can happily tell you that much of that was knocked down over the course of the weekend. And that is mighty good news indeed. Let's see here. We have thanks to send out to our subscribers, our buddy Gary in the New York area, to Mark. Thank you, Mark. Thanks as well to Paul. Thank you, Paul. And thanks to Angelica. And thank you to Christopher. Thank you very kindly. Those are our 12th day of the month subscribers, partial sponsors of the program who make it possible for this program to exist. Thank you very, very kindly indeed. Thanks as well to Randy. Thank you, Randy, very kindly. And thank you to Renee in D.C. With the note, impeach the Manchurian Mango MF-er. All the best to The Horn. Thank you. That's part of how we knock down the. That's part of how we knock down the remaining challenge. Thanks as well go out to Gary and Gaia for helping, and that's also by way of knocking down some more of the challenge. Thanks to Gary and Gaia yesterday. They are the lonely 13th subscribers on the 13th of the month. They're the only subscriber, so thanks again for that. And thank you to Billable Rick and Beth in Dallas. Thank you very, very kindly. Thanks as well to Kay and to Kat. And all of that having been said, I can tell you that what remains of the challenge is not a whole lot. And that helps immensely. Thanks as well to our subscribers, Matt in San Francisco, and to Ralphs. Thank you very much indeed. And so, with all of that having been said, most of the challenges were knocked out. There's only about $40 left. So the fundraising goal for this evening is $240. And that is different Randy. Different Randy. We have multiple Randys now. So, yeah. But anyway, thank you all very kindly. We've only got $240 to deal with this evening. And knock that out. And, well, who knows? We might actually stay on track for the... we're approaching the middle of the month. And as we approach the middle of the month, the country is not in a good place. No. The news that broke over the weekend, we were talking about it some on the front porch on Friday about the fact that the FBI actually opened an investigation into the question of whether Donald Trump, Julius Geezer, was an actual, no kidding, agent or an asset of Mother Russia. Yeah. But then it only got worse. He had a very bad, no good, terrible, awful, really horrible weekend. Poor old Chlamydia Claudius did. Yeah, because the New York Times story came out on Friday. And then over the weekend, it turned out that, well, you remember back when he had his little sit-down tete-a-tete with his daddy Vladdy there in Helsinki and Hamburg and some other places? Well, there was an American translator there. He wouldn't allow anybody else to be present in the room, but there was an American translator there, and he seized the translator's notes so that no one could know what it was that he discussed with his owner, his master, Vladimir Putin. Yeah, the founder, of course, of Putinka Vodka, which hit the world markets about 2 years before, oddly enough, Trump brand vodka suddenly appeared as well. It, just stupid coincidence, that's all. And so it all of this engendered a furious flurry of insane tweeting over the course of the weekend. God, there are north of 30 tweets. So, Jesus. And it not a sign of particularly good mental health on the part of the President of the United States. But because we know, among other things, that there's a whole lot of Republicans in the Congress of the United States who are tainted with Russian money that was, let's say, dry-cleaned for them by the National Ruble Association. Well, they're not really willing to do anything, so they'd rather keep quiet and hope that their part in this national national treason tableau doesn't come to light. And so I guess I'm probably not the only one starting out this brand new week with a little bit of Trump fatigue. but we'll get through it because that's the purpose of this community. We support each other. We sort of keep each other from running screaming into the yard, tearing at our clothes, and barking barking at the moon and eating dirt and running rabbits. Because it takes a village for that sort of thing. It does. Oh, by the way, for later in the program, I'm doing my best to get it charged now. The stress line phone battery went to, so I'm trying to get some juice put to that. Hopefully that will happen fairly quickly, and that'll be up and running for later in the program. We don't really have to worry about it for another, 50 at least minutes or so. Yeah. Note coming in before the program from Ron and Raleigh. Subject line, every damn day. Yes. Ron writes, someone in Iran tossed a couple of mortar rounds into an empty parking lot in Iraq. So John Pornstash Bolton goes to the Pentagon to have them develop targeting solutions to bomb Iran. Remember when John McCain laughingly said, bomb, 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 Iran? Yep, right. These bastards, Ron continues, really want to get their war on. Doesn't it seem suspicious that someone would target an empty parking lot? While Pornstash is ginning up war talk, Mike Pompeo, you know, he was first in his class at West Point, was doing a tour of the Middle East trying to get countries on board to fight another pointless war against a country that hasn't done a goddamn thing to us or anyone else for that matter. I'm sure that Iran is not as pure as the driven snow. However, when compared to Israel, they've killed 250 unarmed Palestinians since last March. They're just trying to maintain some relevance in a region where they're the most populated country. 2 years, I just hope we can get out of this shit show alive. Ain't that the damn truth? Yeah, it is. And, by the way, just a little bit of background on Mike Pompeo. You know, he graduated first in his class at West Point. Jesus. Pompeo, before he went to Congress, I mean, and we don't know how deep his religious mania extended, you know, when he was at, but we also do know through the good work of people like Mikey Weinstein at the Military Religious Freedom Foundation that there have been numerous overt efforts to theocratize the American military, which is supposed to be at least nominally non-sectarian and secular, even. Okay? But before he ran for Congress, he was actually an executive with a company that did lots of business with who? Oh, look, the oil industry. Oh, look, yep. Mm-hmm. Did lots and lots of business with Middle Eastern countries, too. I guess they taught him how to do that while he was busy becoming first in his class at West Point. No, it's not another bad UPS, Randy. It's just I let the battery die on the stress line phone and didn't plug it up over the weekend, and it got cold back here, and that's hard on batteries, so no sweat. No. Now, the business with Iran, and you'd think a country whose first president left office warning the future to avoid foreign entanglements might pay attention to that sage advice once in a while. Maybe if we put it on the money, they would. Or maybe if we put, you know, $1 bill, George Washington's right there. Maybe you put a banner around his head that says, avoid foreign entanglements. But a little bit after a so-called attack near, you know, the way West Virginia is near Washington, D.C., I don't know, an attack near the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad, the bloodthirsty warmongers in the Trump regime started hooting, "Ooh, Iran, Bruga, 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 Iran, Bruga, 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 Iran, Maga, Bruga, Maga, Maga." And so the National Security Council sent a request to the Pentagon and to the State Department. As Ron points out, asking for shooting solutions for an attack on Iran. Speaking to the Wall Street Journal, one former senior U.S. administration official said it definitely rattled people. People were shocked. It was mind-boggling how cavalier they were about hitting Iran. And the lies have piled up like, well, snow this time of year. It was back in May when the White House let out a statement saying that the Israelis had told them Iran has a robust clandestine nuclear weapons program. On the other hand, no, they don't. And when they got caught, the White House changed "has" to "had," but didn't make any point of letting people know that, you know, they'd fucked up some more. So, no, Ron is right. Absolutely correct. The Iranians are not pure as the driven snow. But then again, neither is anybody else over in that benighted, horrifying chunk of real estate. And the Saudis, our partners in peace, would love nothing more than for us to get our war on against Iran. And did I mention the Saudis are still in the journalist killing business? Right. Yeah, I guess he's been laying low. Randy in PA points out, I haven't heard anything about Paul Wolfowitz in a while. Well, but he, like John Negroponte, whenever innocent blood is about to be spilled, they'll be around to lap it up. You know what I mean? Dave in Talibandiana says, I know what was in the notes, Bob. You know, the translator notes that Trump seized. It's like this: after 2 hours of kissing Vladimir's backside and shortly after spooning the boss, President Trump heard the following words from dear Vladimir, quote, "Donnie, you remind me of your daughter Ivanka," end quote. Yeah, that was old cousin Yvonne Kincaid there, for anybody who's keeping notes at home. So, who knows where the big fun will come from? Just in the last couple of days, there were 13 separate attacks by Russian forces on Ukrainian forces inside the territorial boundaries of Ukraine. You'll notice we're not saying much about that, because the President of the United States is an asset of the Russian Federation. I mean, you just have to say it that way now. So there's nuance of meaning there. By the way, this is Moran Monday. Yeah. The Morans are stacking up over there at the this way to the egress sign. Mm-hmm. The question is he an active agent, an active asset, Or is he what was referred to once upon a time in the days of the Soviet Union as a useful idiot? It's real easy just to jump right out there and say useful idiot, see also moron. But somewhere along the way, there's been some sort of a tit-for-tat. There's been some sort of quid pro quo exchange. I mean, the guy's been messing around with the Russian mob since Jesus was a corporal in the army of God. And the taint is all over him. It was a little bit refreshing. And the day started out like a real Lulu, too. Apparently, he was so whacked over the weekend. I don't know. Maybe they couldn't get the dosage right. He showed up, Saturday night on Judge Jeanine Pirro's program on Fox, at which point she asked him, are you an agent? Have you ever been in the pay of, And curiously, he didn't say yes, and he didn't say no. He blustered instead, which for anybody who has ever had a cup of coffee in law school or even watched two or three episodes of Perry Mason or Matlock or maybe L.A. Law, Boston Legal, too, I guess. But Perry Mason's the benchmark standard because there's always a confession from the stand. When you ask a guy a question that's either yes or no, and I've never been
so insulted in my life. Of course, if you read the article, there was nothing there.
Well, if you read the article, there was a lot of there. This was not Gertrude Stein on Oakland, California. There was a whole bunch of there. Namely, specific reasons why the FBI... And has the FBI ever opened an investigation to find out if the President of the United States was an active asset of a hostile foreign nation? Why, no, this was new. This was new. And so that didn't work out so well, and the White House staff was going, Jesus Christ, all you had to do was say no. And so he was out shrieking at reporters this morning on his way to what he thought was Nashville, Tennessee.
I'm going to the farming convention in Nashville, Tennessee. I love Tennessee.
They had to delete that tweet, though. You know, let's go ahead and do this and get it out of the way.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know. Morons.
But even they knew where they were going, and it wasn't Nashville. Well, Nashville, New Orleans, they both start with an N. They're both somewhere down south. And it was kind of weird, though, because Air Force One sat on the tarmac in a takeoff position at Joint Base Andrews for about an hour before it went anywhere, and that's kind of unusual for the presidential jet. When the president goes, they go. Not like that. I mean, okay, so there was the pee-pee tape, but I mean, he didn't do the pee-peeing. But instead, it sat there for about an hour. Now, is this because there wasn't... they couldn't get air traffic clearance all the way to Nashville or New Orleans or Nashua or Nantucket or open Saskatchewan. No, I don't know. I'm guessing they probably couldn't get the dosage right again. But he was off to talk to the farmers at the Farm Bureau, which he just refers to because he can't be bothered to remember the term or the name Farm Bureau. He just calls it I'm going to the farm convention. And he really did. He loves going to the farm convention, because he loves him some farmers.
I'm thrilled to be here in a state that I've had a lot of luck with, and I love a lot of people in this state. I know a lot of people for really a truly historic occasion. This is the 100th annual convention of the American Farm Bureau Federation, 100 exactly. If it was 99, although I was here for 99 too, I have to be honest, right? I like the farmers. What can I do? I like farmers. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much. The Adderall's not working. I'm a little down. I'm a little downbeat today. It's a little embarrassing. I thought I was going to Nashville. I was going to get a new pair of boots. Instead, I'm in New Orleans. It's full of people I don't like. I like Louisiana. I don't like New Orleans. He did put out a tweet, however, that said he would try to live up to the standard of greatness established by the Saints yesterday in their comeback win against a very determined Eagles team. So he likes the Farm Bureau. It's very special because it's their 100th anniversary. Just somehow I don't feel like the energy level is quite there. But then he got a little bit more excited because he got to tell the farmers. You know, he was there to celebrate his signing of the Farm Bill. That's what farmers care about, the Farm Bill. That's the farm welfare that we dole out. That is mostly sucked up by giant corporate farms as opposed to small family farmers. You know, they're not that tall. No, they're not. No, we're not talking about hobbit farmers. No. But it didn't take long for him to quit giving a shit about farming and instead start blathering on about the border. And we got a little peek, and not that we particularly wanted it, into the abnormal psyche of Julius Geezer's libido, because he started freestyling, if you will, on sexual trafficking across the border. It's been a little, he's been talking about it for a while, but he keeps adding details that, I don't know if Stephen Miller is saying, yeah, but boss, what about the electrical tape? And so then you get electrical tape. They tape their face, their hair, their hands behind their backs, their legs. There's so much sexual trafficking, so much. And, you know, once you've titillated yourself with some sexual trafficking, how long can it be before you start insulting people who are seeking amnesty from horrifying conditions in their own countries?
Last week, we have no idea who they are, and you got some, I'm sure, very good ones, but you got some real bad ones. Last week, I traveled to McAllen, Texas, to tour the border and meet with the heroes of ICE and Border Patrol. These great patriots made clear what they need from Congress and to end this terrible crisis. And we will end it. We will end it. You know, when we have proper security, people aren't going to come, except for the people we want to come, because we want to take people in to help our farmers, et cetera. Very important. We're going to make that actually easier for them, to help the farmers, because you need these people. No, you need these people. It'll make it easier.
You need these people. No, you need these people. They weren't disagreeing with you there, Chlamydia Claudius. Jesus. These people. So we're going to make it easier, he says, for people to come in and work for slave wages in subhuman conditions. And yeah.
I mean, I'm glad I told you that because, you know, look, you're in that business and a lot of people don't understand this. You need those. You need people to help you with the farms. And I'm not going to rule that out. I'm going to make that easier for them to come in and to work the farms. You've had some people for 20, 25 years. They're incredible. Then they go home.
You know what's rough? This is two Republican presidents who probably could not put a bean in a paper cup with some potting soil and get a bean sprout to grow. They're so divorced from anything resembling reality or knowledge. I mean, Jesus, here, let's see. I'm so old, I remember when George W. Bush was giving an address in Cleveland and was touched by the plight of farmers. This was back when we thought he would make a lot more sense if he sounded like his brain processes probably felt, so we slowed him down a little bit.
I met an onion grower today at the airport when I arrived, and he said, "You got to help me find people that'll pull onions, pluck them, or whatever you do with them, you know."
Pluck them. Well, this is basically George Bush's onion plucking speech repurposed. These people, we got it because they got to help you with the farming. Well, where are the hard-working white Americans? Why aren't they out there helping with the farming? Now, this isn't me getting all white nationalist or anything, but everything in this man's presidency is about the white. Well, okay, that's what it is. This is about the white people, too, and they need fellaheen. They need helots. They need bond servants. And not in the Bond, James Bond way. You know what I mean? It amazes me that Stephen Miller hasn't quite gotten around to proposing repeal of the 13th Amendment to the Constitution yet, because you know Republicans all over the country would clap in glee, and, well, Steve King would probably have an accident in his very white underwear if we're just thinking about it, because, you know, he had that Confederate flag on his desk.
I mean, I'm glad I told you that because, you know, look, you're in that business and a lot of people don't understand this. You need those. You need people to help you with the farms. And I'm not going to rule that out. I'm going to make that easier for them to come in and to work the farms. You've had some people for 20, 25 years. They're incredible. Then they go home and they can't get back in. That's not going to happen. But we're keeping the wrong ones out, okay? We don't want the wrong ones coming into our country. And for that, it's going to be almost impossible to get in.
What does that even mean, we're keeping the wrong ones out? Does that mean we're letting in people that we should, we're keeping people out that we should let? I can't go there. It really is a toss-up between Mad as a Hatter and Russian Asset. And I'm trying to figure out how you make both of those work at the same time. I think they can, you know, under the rubric of useful idiot. Oh, and by the way, Darlene pointed out, I saw one of his tweets where the phrase "go gentle into that good night" appeared, and I tweeted that he hadn't actually written that tweet because he's never read a poem more complicated than "There Once Was a Man from Nantucket." And we have a correction coming in via Darlene in Connecticut, who said, per Bob Woodward's fear, again, I wanted becoming, but got fear instead from the local library's Reading Challenge program, Trump recited the following poem before an audience at CPAC in early 2018 about immigration. He is a cynical bastard. And there it is.
On her way to work one morning, down the path along the lake, a tender-hearted woman saw a poor, half-hearted frozen snake. His pretty colored skin had been all frosted with the dew. "Poor thing," she cried, "I'll take you in, and I'll take care of you. Take me in, O tender woman, take me in, for heaven's sake. Take me in, O tender woman," sighed the vicious snake. She wrapped him up all cozy in a comforter of silk and laid him by her fireside with some honey and some milk.
Milk and honey, huh?
She hurried home from work that night. As soon as she arrived, she found that pretty snake she had taken in had been revived. She stroked his pretty skin again and kissed and held him tight. But instead of saying thank you, the snake gave her a vicious bite. "I saved you," cried the woman, "and you've bitten me, heavens why. You know your bite is poisonous, and now I'm going to die." "Oh, shut up, silly woman," said the reptile with a grin. "You knew damn well I was a snake before you took me in." And that's what we're doing with our country, folks. We're letting people in, and it is going to be a lot of trouble. It is only getting worse.
I think I prefer the man from Nantucket, but that's just me. But yeah, those undocumented immigrants, they ain't smart.
This technology is incredible. To fund more agents, we're putting that high on the list, officers. Beds, believe it or not, we're one of the only countries, I say one, because every time I say something else, they'll say, oh, well, there was a country that also did it. Somebody comes into our country. They touch one foot on the ground, and we have to catch them. It's called catch. We then take their names.
Catching them is called catch. Well, that clears that up. He's actually talking about the dry foot program, which was a preferential treatment program we had for Cuban refugees. The dry foot program never applied to Haitians or Dominicans or people from, say, St. Lucia or St. Kitts and Nevis. It just applied to Cubans. And if they could get one dry foot on American soil, they got to stay. Once again, he doesn't know what he doesn't know. Scott with a note said, "You knew I was really a snake before you took me in." Wait, that poem's about the snake? I've always assumed Trump was referring to himself. Yeah, you'll get one. And I'm just sort of, for the sake of keeping the program out of the gutter, we're only 38 minutes into it. I've resisted the urge to comment on just how godforsaken phallic that, the phallic patriarchal overtones that are present in that bit of doggerel, but you made me do it, Scott. Steve in New York says, that may be called catch. What he said is called a fucking lie. Whoa. Yeah, that's two in a row. Flavio, meanwhile, points out that snake metaphor so befits Trump. He's as treacherous as they come. And I will warrant that Flavio is the only person listening to a radio program this evening who has the vocabulary to use the word befits, or has actually used it. I mean, this community does. But there's more stuff that gets said on this program that is not said anywhere else.
Anywhere else, nowhere else in America except this radio program, and I hate him.
No, but just another one of those little moments. Irish Dave says, my question is, will those terrorist farm workers be covered by the Trump Care for Humanitarian and such as shit, Mono Satan, the one true... hold on, just hang on tight, Dave. We'll get through the next couple of hours. We'll be all right.
And we bring them to a court, Can you believe this? And we released them. But see, we're trying to do catch and hold, catch and not release. But you have to release. So we release. And they go into our country. And then you announce, these are the laws. Then you say, come back in 3 years for your trial. Tell me, what percentage of people come back? Would you say 100%?
Well, actually, there's an answer to that. But once again, this is a guy who doesn't know what he doesn't know. Back during the Obama administration, they actually put in place a program to try to make asylum give asylum seekers something approaching some sanity in the process. And when they got the program in place, they had a 90% plus success rate in people showing up for their hearings. Better than 90%. This, of course, as you can well imagine, was entirely intolerable to Steve Spray on Hair Miller. Stephen, I don't want to mistake him with the guy who rhymed Texas with what the facts is. And so that program was immediately dismantled by the Trump regime as part of the ongoing quest for damnatio memoriae of anything that had ever been touched by Barack Obama. So he doesn't know. He doesn't know what he doesn't know. And this is living proof of it.
But you have to release. So we release. And they go into our country, and then you announce, these are the laws. Then you say, come back in 3 years for your trial. Tell me, what percentage of people come back? Would you say 100%? No, you're a little off. Like, how about 2%? And those people you almost don't want because they cannot be very smart.
Damn. People who follow the rules, obey the laws, show up for their show up for their hearings, and they're not very smart because they follow the law and show up for their hearings in an effort to prove that they are law-abiding people who want to be a part of the ongoing American experiment.
2% come back. Those 2% are not going to make America great again.
Ha, 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 ha. Laugh all the white people who get all that farm welfare. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, that's a real snapper. That's a real a knee slapper. That's a snapper, Marvelline. That's what that is. That's a snapper. I tell you what, that Donald Trump, he's one funny. He is a funny, funny feller. And I don't mean funny in like the sick and twisted way like all them liberals think he is. Oh, he's funny. Not very smart people. You know what? They're not. If they ain't very smart, we can probably hire them for next to nothing, because that's what we was planning on doing anyway.
Crazy.
Oh, man, nothing gets the maggots going. Like a good bigoted, racist, xenophobic joke about how stupid the brown people are. By the way, Steve in New York points out that Stephen Miller, incidentally, has been blackballed from the fraternity of Steves. I can't imagine you guys ever even pledged him, for God's sakes. But he was running out of energy today down in New Orleans. Even Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, cut away from him there, as you may have noticed.
Watching President Trump, he's now rapping his speech at the American Farm Bureau Federation's annual...
I don't hear him rapping. I just hear him sort of stumbling along. I don't think blonde. I don't think the pretty blonde lady in the white dress knows what rapping is. Oh wait, she means he's close. He wasn't closing his speech. They cut away because he was getting kind of, well, how he gets. Yeah, dadgummit. What's that, Silent R. Lamar? Please, Brother Bob, if Trump's lips are moving, then he's lying. Oh, please, the money. Yeah, if his lips are moving, he's lying. Dadgummit, I'm sorry, Flavio. Flavio complaining. But I get no cowbell. Racism. I never get a cowbell. Discrimination. Well, Flavio, here's an affirmative action cowbell for you, buddy. Okay. Jesus. You people. So Fox News TV cut away from him. But he was, along the way, coming undone a little bit. Listen very carefully, and you'll hear him begin to slur his words. Like I said, I think they were sitting there waiting to take off for that hour in D.C. because they were trying to get the dosage right and trying to get him to keep his clothes on.
Last June, Border Patrol agent.
Last June. It's not the only one.
Last June, Border Patrol agent was checking sensors on the Clintons and Chilton's ranch.
Clintons and Chilton's ranch. There was no Clinton ranch. The story was about the Chilton's ranch. But the Spirokeets were busily singing Clinton, 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 Clinton. And he was moving, he had begun to slow down to the point where he had no executive function. Jim Chilton, I'm sorry, Arizona, not Texas. Jim Chilton shot a Border Patrol agent. And I guess because somebody got killed, he, in the thin gray settlings that slop around between his ears and are basically the medium in which the Spirokeets live, he... just inserted some Clintons. Yeah. Well, that's what was going on inside the building there in New Orleans. I found it much more interesting what was going on outside the building.
Lock him up! Lock him!
Somebody even brought a guillotine to the pro. Well, I mean, not a real guillotine, but a mock-up, a fake guillotine.
Fake guillotines.
With a sign that read, "Let them eat cake." Well, now, obviously that was just political satire. But it was kind of weird for me to see the video because I know where that was shot. That was at the convention center in New Orleans where, oh gosh, just 5 short months ago, I was there for Netroots Nation. And I'll bet you the folks I was around at Netroots Nation were a lot nicer than the folks that were there today. Mainly because a bunch of the folks there today were probably wearing their little red maggot hats. Weird weekend, though. Weird, weird weekend. Up in Michigan, which, by the way, is the title of a Hemingway short story, something else Donald Trump has never read. Up in Michigan, a man has been indicted and taken into custody. Rick Lynn Simmons left voicemail of Grand Rapids, Michigan, left voicemail for Senator Cory Booker, in which he threatened to, quote, put a gun to Cory Booker's face. The rest of the voicemail was comprised of threats like, come on, you bring it on, buddy. Just me and my wife, and we got guns a-blazing. You want to come in here? As well as the various racial slurs that you would expect a maggot to include in a desperate failed attempt But it really is it really is more in Monday, and as you can see, we can never grandfather Donald Trump because he takes such ownership of the process. But that doesn't mean there aren't other morons. Oh no, oh no, oh no. For instance, and I have a separate theory on this story. The Louisville Courier-Journal reported today that Kentucky Senator...
Mascara in a snap?
No, stop. I hate autoplay audio. Reported that Kentucky Senator Rand Paul and that thing on his head, libertarian ophthalmologist Rand Paul, he's comfortably well off. He's socially secure. He's headed to Canada. Apparently, he is going to have hernia surgery. At the Shoulders Hernia Hospital in Thornhill, Ontario. It'll be happening the week of January 21st, in other words, a week from today. And it's going to cost somewhere between $5,000 and $8,000. And I guess he's going there because Shoulders Hernia Hospital describes itself as the global leader in non-mesh hernia repair. Sorry, I added the A just to make it more Canadian. That's well and good, I guess. But in the spirit of always searching for a new conspiracy, I think he's going up there to have that thing on his head more reliably attached to his scalp. Yeah. Marty wants to know, I got here late. Who was the crowd shouting to have locked up? Lock him up, Marty. It was a crowd of people in New Orleans calling for the Russian asset, Individual One, to be locked up. But yeah, Rand Paul, who is a devotee of profit-driven medicine and the for-profit insurance industry, who has sworn that if everybody in America was able to go to the doctor when they need to, it would cause us to descend into some sort of chaotic socialist hellscape, is running up to the home of socialist medicine to get his hernia fixed. Or maybe, I don't know, considering how badly he got his ass kicked by his neighbor, maybe he's a little insecure. Maybe we should refer to it as a hymnia for him. For, you know, for Rand Paul and that thing on his head. A spokescreep for Rand Paul, Kelsey Cooper, said,
"This is more fake news on a story that has been terribly reported from day one. This is a private, world-renowned hospital separate from any system, and people come from around the world to pay cash for their services."
That's about a third true. It's a private hospital. But they're not a cash-only hospital. In fact, that hospital largely survives not on little Kentucky pissant senators who had the shit kicked out of them by their next-door neighbors because, you know, for being an asshole and richly courting it. But instead, the hospital makes most of its money on regular, everyday Canadians who, whether it be through the Ontario health plan or some other provincial health plan, have their hernias worked on at that hospital. Which incidentally points out the fact that somehow or another, private medical facilities manage to not only survive but thrive inside a healthcare system that makes sure that everybody who's sick can go to the doctor when they are. Spokescreep Kelsey Cooper didn't get around to explaining what it was that made the report terrible from day one. Maybe it's the fact that somewhere in the course of reporting this story, various news outlets have pointed out the fact that Rand Paul and that thing on his head have referred to the medical system in Canada as slavery. Now, you and I, we know our history, and so consequently, we don't have any problem differentiating between a healthcare system that makes sure everybody can go to the doctor when they're sick or need care, and the actual owning of human beings and the theft of their labor over the course of a lifetime, along with various and sundry forms of physical and sexual abuse and assault. Rand Paul and that thing on his head back in 2011 said,
"With regard to the idea of whether or not you have a right to health care, it means you believe in slavery. You're going to enslave not only me, but the janitor at my hospital, the person who cleans my office, the assistants, the nurses. You're basically saying you believe in slavery."
The more Anna's strong with that one. Strong indeed. And so since that hospital and the doctors who work in it receive lots and lots and lots of public monies such that they can live very, very comfortable lives in the far frozen north, I guess Rand Paul and that thing on his head are going to walk in and say, "Good morning, slave. Fix my hernia." Well, that's true, too. Flavio points out, Not only that, you can go to the doctor before, Canadians can go to the doctor before they're sick, since they focus on preventive medicine. Just a nuance, that. But it's an important nuance, Flavio. Ron and Raleigh asking, "Hey, Bob, was that Doug Kincaid of the Canadian Kincaids, eh? Did he send some back bacon, eh? No, but I wish he would, eh?" This is all in good fun. I love Canada, and I love our Canadian friends, okay? Just to be sure, right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep, that was, but good, hey, look. Ron's paying attention. That was Doug Kincaid, because who's Doug's brother? Bob McKenzie. Yeah, Doug and Bob. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't have worked out if he'd said if that it was that bobcat. No, because Ron in Raleigh is on top of things. Enjoy your hernia surgery there in the land of the land of the enslaved medical professionals, Rand Paul. I hope it doesn't hurt too little. Jesus. Busy, busy, busy weekend. By the way, I've got a, I did manage to, we're charging merrily along now on the stress line, and it's connected via Bluetooth to the little gizmo. And so the stress line's up and running if you want to engage in some Moran Monday conversation. You're free to jump in. By the way, happy birthday, and thank you to our pal Kenda in Missouri. Kenda celebrated her birthday by helping to knock down that that overage, or the remaining deficit, I guess you would say, from the challenges on Friday. And so there we are. And so did Arthur, by the way. Arthur did as well. And that was back last Friday, and I didn't get a chance to say thank you. But, yeah, Candace said, $10 to the horn to celebrate my birthday today. Apply it to a match if you have one going. And there is. Right now there's $40 remaining to that matching challenge. And $200 to go. And that remains as of the moment of this, what I'm saying here and now. By the way, note coming from Robert in Australia. Did Trump also claim to be an expert on farming?
Oh, I know all there is to know about farming. I know what plants crave. They crave Brondo because it's got electrolytes, and electrolytes are what plants crave.
Yeah, thank you, Robert. That was well played indeed. So what else? Where else? There is an abundance. In the midst of the shutdown, let's take a quick peep at some of the things that are taking it on the chin. Joshua Tree National Park. Yeah, this is pretty disgusting. Joshua Tree National Park is, of course, parts of it are closed. And they're always closed to vehicular traffic. But that didn't much matter to what I presume, and I think it's a safe presumption, maggots. The Joshua trees are a natural marvel. And so it will come as no surprise to find out that the Joshua Tree National Park National Monument has been subjected to abuse during the shutdown. Our buddies at Earth Justice, and they are awesome, our friends at Earth Justice are. Um, posted a story a couple of days ago. Shutdown causes major damage to threatened Joshua trees in iconic national park. Mismanagement under Acting Interior Secretary David Bernhardt cited as cause of destruction in Joshua Tree National Park. The Joshua trees were already under considerable stress as a result of climate change. Some arborists have hypothesized that those beautiful, unspeakably magnificent specimens will be extinct as a result of climate change by 2100. And that will cause a ripple effect because in the Western Desert, a whole lot of other living things depend on the Joshua tree as the sort of the hub of the ecosystem. Drew Caputo is Vice President of Litigation for Lands, Wildlife, and Oceans at Earth Justice. And said it's day 24 of the government shutdown and the Trump administration is still allowing garbage and vandalism to run rampant in our parks. We can't just replace lost Joshua trees or fix the ecological damage their destruction caused overnight. Acting Secretary Bernhardt needs to close and protect the parks while they're without proper staff and answer for the mismanagement immediately. Because it's bad. Among other things, the trees themselves have been destroyed, cut down, wrecked. Several of the Joshua trees in the National Park in Southern California are gone. They have a skeleton crew at the park, but they are unable to protect the park itself. According to park officials, last week, it has suffered sanitation, safety, and resource protection issues since December 22nd. And an unspecified number of the trees have been destroyed. Photographed lying in the dirt. And so-called visitors went in and cut down the trees so that they could drive into the area, you know, instead of hiking, walking, where ordinarily vehicles are banned. What kind of asshole are you? When you wait until a government shutdown so you can go and chop down trees and drive into an area where vehicles are forbidden because they are dangerous to the ecosystem itself. And again, just a reminder, these parks are the heritage and the property of we, the people of the United States, acting on behalf of ourselves and our future, setting aside the land so that it can be a source of goodness and pleasure and respect and regard for future generations. I'll surmise that if we had some sort of webcams, but they'd have to be shut down because of the shutdown. I don't know, but if there was some sort of, we'd probably know who, immediately who was responsible for this, because their goddamn stupid red MAGA hats would give them away as they were sitting there hacking away at these ancient trees. And it's not just the Joshua Tree National Park, it's others as well. Right here, it affects us here where we live, because the New River Gorge National River is just a scant couple of miles away, and the people who work there are among the 21,000 National Park Service employees who are furloughed, not getting paid, because the 72-year-old spirochete-infested orange man baby is still in the middle of his goddamn racist temper tantrum. Yeah, these ecological thugs actually carved new trails into the Joshua Tree National Park. Off-road paths, if you will. And see, what made me think that this was probably maggots was because I was remembering what happened. What was it? At Bear's Ears? When the maggots showed up. Well, we can't go riding of our four-wheelers there through the properties no more, and that ain't no fun for us if we got to get out and walks. Well, sir, you know, the place is full of Native American artifacts and has a deep significance and spiritual significance to the people, the indigenous people. Fuck them! We want to ride our four wheelers, MAGA MAGA. David Smith, the superintendent of Joshua Tree, said, "We've never seen this level of out of bounds camping. Joshua trees were actually cut down in order to make new roads. The Live Oak area was really hit by the presumable maggots." They did that to get to the most significant tree in the park. Meanwhile, other Americans trying to do their best are volunteering to help. But it's impossible to completely make up for what's being lost. So it's the national parks. The EPA is no longer monitoring toxic chemicals. Heavy metals, water pollutants, air pollutants. The monitoring is not taking place. Ordinarily, when the EPA is fully functional, something like 2,000 inspections take place every week all across the country. We've gone from 2,000 to zero. All those stories we've had over the past couple of years about the little shit molecules in peanut butter and romaine lettuce and spinach and green onions and the salmonella and the giardia and all of that shit. Yeah, those inspections aren't taking place either. So, shellfish is going unmonitored and unexamined. Jesus. the whale, dolphin, seal, other marine mammal mammal programs, the rescue programs, that neither. And we're just scratching the surface. Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, Lee. Lee in New York says, subject line, Joshua Tree. When you go to the topic of destruction due to the shutdown, you cannot lead with the story about Joshua Trees. After you cover another problem, you talk about Joshua Trees and remark, you too. That's good for a jingle. Ron and Raleigh ask, you want to bet any money on the fact that the axe happy assholes are Republicans? Not a damn dime. I know they are. These jagoffs don't know that we're in the middle of a mass extinction. Here in North Carolina, the legislature is trying to remove the red wolf from the endangered species list. These so-called people will be the death of us all. So-called people. And meanwhile, trying to be a little ray of sunshine, Brother Deacon Asa says, the beautiful thing about the maggots wearing their bright red ball caps in the midst of all the Joshua trees is that they make for really awesome target practice. You didn't say that, says Brother Deacon Asa. I did. What a world, what a world. Hey, thank you, Flavio. Thank you very kindly to Flavio. Just finished off the last of the challenge, so we got $200 to finish the program out for the evening. That's tremendous, Flavio. Thank you. Thank you a ton. I cannot thank you enough. Thank you very kindly. So, and maybe we'll, there's a fighting chance that, in the next hour and 45 minutes, maybe we'll go into tomorrow and have knocked out Monday's fundraising. That would be fantastic. Thank you, Flavio. Thank you very much indeed. Oh, let's run over and check in with Todd. What's up, Todd?
Hey, how's it going?
It's okay. It's been kind of cloudy and gray, so it's been another one of those sort of funky, what do they call that, circadian rhythm sort of downer days.
Kind of sad day.
Yeah, I'm going to have to install a sun lamp or something in here.
You know, they work for some people, you know, the full spectrum light, just like if you want to grow a nice plant, you get one of those.
Problem is, I wonder if I'll wind up with a sunburn on my little pink hide.
Well, I know how you pinks are, you know,
yeah.
You know.
You people.
You know how you, like Dave Chappelle talking about the, you know that family, the N family?
Yes.
They're white folks?
Yeah.
Like, I know how you blacks are, so I need my money now. Anyway, you know what I mean.
You pinks.
That's how silly the whole thing is. So
I'm still waiting for a reference to the pinks.
What type of reference are you waiting on?
Oh, you know, why can't the pinks get their shit together and stop getting skin cancer? You know, just some reference to the pinks.
Why can't the pinks get themselves together and have good eyesight?
It, right.
Why can't the pinks... Okay.
You get my meaning.
Yeah. Why can't the pinks just fight against microparticulates?
There, right.
You know.
So why do the pinks use so much welfare?
Yeah. You know. Oh goodness. Oh please. So you know you touched on. I had the program on, but then I had to pick a call and it was down low because people don't like when I listen to the radio and I talk on the phone. They hear it in the background and they complain. So, which I don't blame. But, you know, when you started talking about Joshua Tree, it immediately, when I saw a picture or a number of pictures in the media, immediately I went to the Bundys because they're so despicable. And you know they're Trumpers. I mean, there's no way around that.
Oh, Cloven Bundy? Let me tell you about the Negro. Yeah, of course he's a Trumper.
Right. Right. Well, remember, his son was the leader of a pack that went out there purposely to four-wheel over Indian burial grounds. I don't know if you remember that, but yeah, he was a ringleader. Matter of fact, he got convicted for that. So that's just one thing. Now, the other thing maybe, the obvious news is just so obvious, I don't even know if I'm going to get into that. Because it's like, there's no surprise, it's just disgusting. But back to this government shutdown thing, it's interesting how that's, I don't know if you already talked about this, but it seems like that fits right into the ideological rubric of this Tea Party crowd at the same time that it will be doing what Russia would want us to be doing because, you know, all we're doing is eroding our whole country. You know, everything's being hollowed out.
Right, and the question becomes, what's going to be left?
Whatever people want. Look, whatever people want. And the reason I say that, Steve King, and the last time we talked, I believe we talked on Thursday. I was medicated. Yeah, I was. Oh, I'm much better now. But So Steve King, he's just one person, but he apparently won. What I heard, 23 points. That was the margin of his victory in his district. Excuse me. So that is who those folks want in office. You see,
yeah.
Trump is only one person. Steve King is only one person. So my new thing now, it's not that new, but anytime anyone says anything to you, anyone, anywhere on this planet Earth about racism, say, oh, it's here, it's strong. You know, don't let anybody, yip yap, well, you had this, you had that. No, fuck that. Fuck that. We've got to get down to brass tacks because these motherfuckers are out here and they're brazen.
Well, and see, I read a statistic earlier, Todd. Since the history of the House, only 23 people have ever been censured.
Hmm.
The only
since when?
In the history of the House.
Hmm. Damn.
But the thing is, censure, bullshit on censure. You know what? I'll go ahead and say this. People say, well, you can't just kick Steve King out because you would be disenfranchising the people who elected him. The people who elected him are fucking white supremacists and racists. Disenfranchise them. Put somebody,
Bob, listen. The emotional part of me totally says that. But at the same time, that's how those people feel. You see, we're sinking into regionalism now. We're there.
Well, yes, we certainly are. But, I mean, why can't we have a chance to look at the people of that district in Iowa and say, listen, racists, you don't get to send any more white supremacists to Congress.
So you want to shame them?
Goddamn right I want to shame them. And you know what?
If we ever
actually get rid of Donald Trump and prove that he was a Russian asset, before the maggots are allowed back into polite society, I want them to walk through the middle of the town with their fucking heads shaved like the goddamn Vichy French.
Look, see, this is what I'm pissed off about. Now that you brought it up, Mr. Segway.
Yeah, I've been known to do that. You pink people.
I mean, proving it. Like, how can he not be? That was the last thing I said to you on Thursday. I said, if he's not a Russian asset, then he's a hell of an actor. You know, something to that effect. But anyway, everybody's been talking about it. This is, you know, this is no news to us, but it's just disgusting to have to even discuss this shit in public and have to look at this motherfucker. And it's like all this shit should be erased. All these judges, Kavanaugh's a piece of shit. Fuck that. Gotta go. Like Sweet Dick Willie said, gotta go, gotta go.
Yeah, and that's actually a significant conversation, Todd. There are people out there asking. Dr. Bill's one of them. We don't need impeachment and removal. We need a damn do-over. We need to scrub away everything that's been done under this administration. Make it so that it never existed.
That's right. And you see, once again, that hurts his constituency because if you know, they live vicariously to him. They say, that's my president. Who says that shit? That's my president. Ugh, yuck. But you see, it's not our fault. And see, I'm just trying to be the devil's advocate. But yes, and the reason is because it has eroded. The people he's put in, they are antithetical to what they're doing in that position. You know, it has just eroded our government, and there's no way around that. And all this other nonsense. And he's mentally ill on top of that.
We can have a country that's a republic that runs on democratic principles, or we can have maggots. We can't have both.
And let me say this. I'm not trying to hurt anyone's feelings. But, you know, people are born different. Okay? Everyone is not intelligent. You know, people can muddle through life and do what they have to do and make their choices, blah, blah, blah. But look, let the smart people run things. That's why the smart people run shit. I mean, let's just get this bullshit out of this anti-intellectualism. Just fuck that shit. Let's just come to an agreement that we have a racism problem, and we have a problem now that we've been dumbed down since the mid-70s. You know, unless you went to a very good public school, which happens. You know, come on. That's why we're in the position we're in. I'm sorry. People have their lot in lives. That's just the way it is. You know, you just have to make the best of it. And we got these assholes out here like Murray, Charles Murray, you know, masquerading as an esteemed psychologist. Oh, my God. You know.
Interesting you should bring up old Chuck.
Mr. C, that's what I'm talking about. You need these goddamn segues, man. Fuck. Never mind.
Sorry, dude. Go ahead. Because there was a... There was a story over the weekend. If I say the names Watson and Crick to you, does that hold any meaning?
Sure. DNA.
Identifying the double helix.
Double helix. DNA. Right. Come on.
Well, here recently, James Watson, who is now 90, you know, he got himself in a...
I thought he was dead like 20 years ago.
No, that was Crick.
Okay.
Watson is 90, and back in 2007, he got himself into some pretty deep shit. Because in 2007, he said... I mean, you know, he said this to an actual newspaper in an actual interview. I'm inherently gloomy about the prospect of Africa. All our social policies are based on the fact that their intelligence is the same as ours, whereas all the testing says not really.
Mm-hmm.
Then he doubled down. Mm-hmm. And he said, people who have to deal with black employees find this is not true. And so he got a world of shit for that.
Mm-hmm.
But then back on January 2nd, PBS aired a documentary called American Masters Decoding Watson.
Mm-hmm.
And where he had supposedly apologized for his hateful comments. Well, no. he went back. He went, you know, like a dog returning to its vomit, and declared that genes cause a difference in intelligence between white and black people in IQ tests.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first person I thought of was old Chuck Murray.
Right, exactly.
Because there's a through line that connects them.
What?
And it runs, and it's so antediluvian that through line runs all the way back to antebellum United States, and you know, racist colonial Europe.
That goes back to almost phrenology, and that's what I was about to say. I'll never forget the chair when I was in school. You see, that's when the bell curve came out, Murray's piece of tripe, cow stomach, and the chairman of the department came through all the classes at one point and said, "Look, there's a book out now." He presented it, and I was actually in one of the classes that he taught. He taught one class, and I happened to be in that class at the time. And he made a big deal about it. Like, look, this is what you folks have to be careful of, you know, as you go out into the world. You know, and I'm talking about psychology class. And he said, look, this is what you need to look out for. This is what, because you will be asked to do junk science. You can make a lot of money doing this. But you see, this is what, you know, so he made a big deal about it. I'll never forget that. Because I'm just saying, he was a very, this guy came from, the chair of the department came from industrial psychology. So he knew what he was talking about. Like, he'd been in advertising. He did a lot of things. But anyway, so yeah, I'm sorry. Please proceed.
No. You were going where we needed to go. But here's the point. Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory out on Long Island, where he was the director from 1968 to 1993, immediately moved and stripped Watson of all of his honorary degrees and titles.
Heck yeah.
And the thing is, the House of Representatives is thinking about censuring Steve King, maybe, sorta, kinda, possibly, you know, if the Republicans will let them. And when asked about it, the Republicans got all both-sided. Well, the Democrats are coming after poor old Steve King, and he's repudiated his own words. But damn, they never say it when the Democrats do anything like that. They're just quiet.
Oh, God.
I've been scratching my head all weekend, searching my memory, trying to remember the Democratic congressperson with a Confederate flag on his desk.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. That's exactly. I'm like, what, that's the only thing they can say, and it doesn't make any sense. It's not logical. All right. So, the House, we know the House, they can change the rules at the drop of a hat. At the beginning of every session, they can change rules. Now, I don't know, but I'm not quite as sure. I don't know the parliamentary procedure like that for the Senate. You know, that's not my purview.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing: on a 2/3 vote, they can throw his Klan ass all the way out of the House.
Well, that's what they should do, and that's sending a message like we are trying to move forward.
And then when that happens, There needs to be a list made of every Republican who votes in support of the white supremacist, because they will be that too.
Stomp them out.
I mean, because the reality of it is that once upon a time, the attitudes manifested by Steve King were the attitudes manifested by practically the entirety of the Congress of the United States. I wish it was not so, but it is so. It's true. White supremacy was written into law. It was baked into the Constitution, and it was adhered to as an article of faith by every white man in that body, and they were all white men. I mean, maybe there were a few abolitionists eventually who did not subscribe to it, who knew better. But, I mean, we're talking about way up into relatively modern history, Todd. Remember, Social Security didn't apply to black folks who worked in domestic works when it was first passed. It had to be amended to bring the aspects and elements of the black working class into the program. We are not that far removed from a time when white supremacy was the official policy of the United States. It's a little bit longer. It's a little bit longer in time than, say, how long since South Africa hasn't been an apartheid state, but it ain't that much longer. That's why they had. That's why people had to struggle for the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act and the Fair Housing Act.
It's awful. And if you live in small town deep south, it hasn't moved along that much at all in some places. Like, I'm gonna say names. There's a place called Denmark, South Carolina. Bamberg, South Carolina. Now, I've had to do some work down in those places, and I'm telling you, man, it was so, I could not wait. I felt like I was not safe there. I got the hell out of there. I would leave work early because I did not want to be there when the sun started to set. Okay? When the sun goes down.
It was a sundown town.
Look, I didn't want to be, I mean, you could, it might have been a sundown town. There's a lot of black folk there, but they just do black folk stuff, if you know what I mean. And I wasn't doing black folk stuff. And you see, what I'm saying is that it was palpable, the feeling. Like, I remember the first time I left at dusk. And I'm telling you, I will never forget it. That's why I got the hell up out of there when it started to get dark. As the first time, I could feel like, wow, people have been lynched here. You could feel it on the highway. Like, you could just, I mean, and these trees is so dense where even in the light of day, there's a lot of shade because the canopy is so rich. You know what I mean?
The
sunlight can penetrate. And so when it's starting to get dark, you really feel it. I'm like, wow. I mean, come on. Something came over me. I could feel it. So, you know, I wasn't doing that. And then I learned the history. I was like, oh, hell no. No. Yeah, so I hear what you're saying. And, you know, that's one reason why Reconstruction is very interesting to some people because, especially in this state, now they had, you know, one of the first black congressmen was from South Carolina.
Right.
Because the population was a whole lot of, remember, most black folk in this country, most, came through Charleston. Most black folk. You know, there's a reason for that. But this, you know, the steps you're talking about, stomping it out, that's going to hurt a lot of people's feelings.
Well, but the bottom line is we can have a country that's fit to live in, or we can have white supremacists, but we can't have both.
And you know, I'm not sticking up for the white supremacists at all.
Right, right. I know that. Well, it's like Darlene just wrote a note and said, "What does censure really achieve? What does it really do?" They've talked about that for Trump as well. Can it restrain or restrict the sitting congressman or president in any way from further screwing up our republic and our ongoing attempts at more perfect union? And the answer is no, no, and no. It does nothing. It's not even a slap on the wrist. You know, there's a call out there, and see. Each caucus manages its own business in the House and the Senate. So Nancy Pelosi cannot remove Steve King from a committee. That can only be done by Kevin McCarthy, the minority leader.
So you know the parliamentary procedure. Okay.
And so, you know, the top three are Kevin McCarthy, Steve Scalise, and Liz Cheney. Well, Kevin McCarthy says, "Oh, this is terribly serious, harumph." Steve Scalise had to apologize for going and giving a speech to a bunch of fucking Klansmen.
Yeah.
claiming, well, I had, granted, I mean, it was David Duke's organization, and, well, I didn't know David Duke would be associated with a with a white supremacist organization. I was just giving a speech about civics to a civic group. And then there's Liz Cheney. Say no more. You know, she got all worked up and said, oh, these are reprehensible words, and then nothing. And so the Democrats are saying, listen, the response to this is to remove Steve King from all committee assignments. Let him sit there. He can vote when we have votes on the floor, but he has nothing to do with any committees because we cannot have a white supremacist having any influence whatsoever in the government. And meanwhile, Tyson Foods is still giving money to Steve King.
Now you said two significant things, Rick, just now. First of all, not like I'm a judge, but I absolutely agree. That is a perfect middle ground to handle Steve King. In other words, you can neuter him, take his power away because he won't have any committee. All, you know, okay, people voted for him. He's in the Senate. I mean, where is he, in the House or the Senate?
House.
The House. All right, he's in the House. You vote. You keep voting for him because
he's been there for 18 years. 18 years.
Right. Right. So he's still there, but he has no power now. No pull, no gravitas, no nothing. Now, you voted for him, he can be there. That's the perfect way to deal with that, to send those folks a message. Like, you know. And the other thing about Tyson, guess what? Tyson, you know they have a whole lot of illegal immigrants working in their processing plants. And until we start prosecuting the people who hire the folks that they claim they hate, because remember, it's the people who own these plants that vote Republican. You know, they're all behind this stuff, even though they want that labor. You know, this whole thing is convoluted. And that's why I said there were two points. But yeah, that.
Well, and see, here's the punchline. You remember Congressman Tim Ryan, the guy who made rumblings about challenging Nancy Pelosi for speaker and actually challenged her for the minority leader position a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
that guy leans right, but he's trying to, I guess, take the wind out of the sails for trying to either remove him from committees or throw him out of the House entirely, because he has introduced earlier today a censure resolution on Steve King. And it has to wait 2 days before it can be voted on. It is co-sponsored originally by Dave Loebsack of Iowa and Dave Joyce, a Republican from Ohio. Loebsack's a Democrat. But if they censure him, nothing happens. Nothing automatically happens.
Bob, you know what this is going to take, and we can do this. Everyone needs to call their representative. And as you said, he's in the House of Representatives. And we have to let our folks know that he's just not acceptable anymore. And if we all put pressure, you know, a couple of calls make a difference. They really do. And you know, I've called Lindsey Graham. Now, remember, you know this story. This jackass, you know what I'm talking about. He was my representative, Mulvaney. And he had the nerve to send me a letter saying, well, you know, you're a Democrat, so I don't even know why you're bothering me. I'm paraphrasing. Can you imagine? Now, I know that was one of his aides. I know he didn't do that himself because I met him. He's just – some of these people are normal when you meet them. You know, this is not a big state.
They seem to be normal.
So oh, my God. It sounded like it was a prequel for a horror movie. They seem to be normal.
So did the pod people, as long as you didn't spend much time around them.
Oh. But so, right. Before I get off of one of my tangents. Yeah, we have to let them know. No, we don't want him around.
You know what that means? You know what that means for me, Todd?
What?
That means placing a call to the office of a woman who won't announce how she votes because she says she has to talk to Jesus about it. And then after she takes it to Jesus in prayer, it always turns out that she votes the Republican Party line. Carol Miller.
Well, oh, okay. Oh, you people. Oh, my God. Listen, Washington Journal, the first call this morning on Washington Journal.
Interesting you would ask, because I've got a note here from Steve from Georgistan saying,
oh, Steve, man.
Ask Todd if he's been able to stomach Washington Journal. One of the maggots said, as soon as them foreigners step that foot on our soil, they're citizens and get a welfare check. Steve says, I was screaming at the TV, man. I should have known where they picked that up.
Man, yes, Steve. The past few days, they have been coming out of the proverbial woodwork. And a lot of them have been from West Virginia, man. And oh, my God, you got some old crazy women in West Virginia, man. Oh, my God. But, you know, when I was used to travel there a lot, I never had any trouble. Everybody was nice to me. I didn't know they were crazy like that, man. Oh, my God.
There has been a transformation in this state over the course of about the last 25 years. When I first came to West Virginia on a permanent basis in 1983, it wasn't like this. Wasn't like this at all.
That's so sad. And these people are going to be crushed. Well, they're not going to believe. They're delusional, like.
The cranky septuagenarians who call Washington Journal from West Virginia, remember, they were in their mid-40s back then. And back in 1980, there were something like 100,000 coal miners in West Virginia.
Okay, so they weren't hurting for money. Everybody was working, you know.
And now there are around 10,000 tops, maybe 12.
Yeah. You know, the politicians let that state down. They should have seen that the coal mines were going to shrink and look forward to a new type of economy. Because, you know, it's not too late. You need to have some type of niche. Well, you got the tourism. Let me show up. So listen, let's talk about the elephant in the room. Okay.
Okay.
What? Now, it's funny because I heard you. I didn't respond, but last time we talked on Thursday, you said you had shifted toward impeachment. I heard you say that. I don't think I.
Well, I'm just acknowledging that it may be unavoidable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
okay.
if Mueller releases his report and we get to see it, we the people.
And I was medicated, and I remember that. Mm-hmm.
If Mueller releases his report and we get to see it, and it shows that he was an agent acting on, or an asset acting on behalf of the Russian Federation, well, then at that point in time, you're not in that world of nebulous high crimes and misdemeanors like a blowjob.
Mm.
At that point in time, you're into one of the things that's actually enumerated inside the body of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And because...
That's a high crime.
Well, no, that's the thing. You can say, yeah, that's a high crime. It would be a high crime within the purview of what Dr. Bill explains about what the British described as a high crime. But they enumerate two specific crimes by name. The President, Vice President, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors.
See, we're back to that word. Now, we talked, I'm not going to say how long ago that was. I love that word. No, the S word.
So.
Shall.
And if evidence comes out of what is fairly clearly traitorous conduct, no, it's not treason by name. Treason is defined as giving comfort to the aid and comfort to the enemy. It's narrowly defined because treason had been used as a sort of all-purpose excuse for cutting a lot of heads off a lot of necks in merry old England.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to make sure that that didn't happen. But if you're the House of Representatives and you are given clear and convincing evidence that individual one is indeed a traitor to his country.
Well, he's traitorous, definitely.
How the hell do you not impeach?
Treason is different than traitor because treason has to do with war. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. Of course. Listen, and see, this is what I've been saying for the last 2 months. I don't know if I keep remembering. I don't even thought about it, but I keep saying that the evidence it's on C-SPAN's website, where the Department of Justice has, under that pressure. This was months ago. Months ago, Rosenstein was under pressure, like, well, you don't have any evidence. So he finally released everything, the dirt on Donald Trump Jr. about that meeting with Goldstone. And what they, you know, it's a PDF packet, and it has everything in it. It has, like news clippings plus the intercepts. And, see, that was the big deal because he didn't want to release it because he released the obvious where, what do they call it, methods and it's another word they use.
Means.
In data collection. Means and methods, right. So in other words, they don't want to let you know the tools that the spies are using to obtain the information. But they feel under pressure. Even though we already know that all the telecommunications, everything, they can't build enough server farms to save everything you do all over the world. It's been happening forever, so whatever. So it's all there. You know, like Donald Trump Jr., he's definitely – I mean, if he doesn't have an – I mean, I can't imagine he does not have an indictment for his name on it. It's there. I mean, he conspired.
All right, then let's head off down this little garden path. Why do you suppose
– man, you can go to the website now. You see this. Like, oh,
No. But why – here, though, let's work through this. Why do you think, then, that the indictment has not been unsealed, if you think there already is one?
Because you have to – the way these investigations go, it's a lot like if you're looking for the kingpin of the drug trade, you have to – that's the only good analogy, you know, over a mob. You want to get – you got to knock down everybody in between to get to the top. Now, plus it's so explosive. They're not going to do that yet. You know, they're not going to do that yet. They have it. They're making them sweat. They know. They see. He's boxed in. And see, the whole Trump family is boxed in now. They're boxed in by Russia. And now look back. Look at what it looked like in Helsinki. Look at that. When Trump went on that stage, he looked like Putin just told him, man, I got you every way from Sunday. Do you understand what I'm telling you? I got all your money. I got your reputation. I got everything on you. You ain't shit. Trump, he trundled up there. He looked, ugh. And he took his feet away. He ain't have shit with his little ass dick. He couldn't do, what the fuck? And you know that. Look back at the tape. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Now, what's going to happen? And it's just like that woman said, the first caller. Even though we all know this, what's going to happen if we're attacked now? We have these weirdo, incompetent people in ahead of a lot of the government. Oh God! But these people are waving the flag.
Yeah, but let's go backwards for a minute, Todd.
I know. I'm sorry.
No. I just. We were talking about treason, because treason's mentioned in the impeachment clause. Okay.
Right.
Article 2, Section 4. But you have to go to Article 3, Section 3 to find out what treason is. And I say listen carefully, not because I think you won't, but because I think there are some things hidden in here, tucked away that we may not be paying attention to them. Treason against the United
States. I'm glad you're doing this.
Treason against the United States shall consist only. So whatever comes after are the only ways you can charge treason. Only in levying war against them. So he's not actually shooting at us. Or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a check.
So the question then becomes, is Russia an enemy of the United States? Do you have to have a declaration of war in order for treason to attach?
Oh, my goodness. You raised some. Okay. So the first.
Or can an enemy be a domestic adversary, or not a domestic, but a hostile foreign power, not friendly to the United States?
We don't often hear that. The second, what is that, second clause?
Adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. Now, if anything like this goes forward, all the little maggots will pull their little red hats down tighter around their over their pointy little heads and snugger, you know, make them.
Wait a minute.
And the whole, but Jane Fonda.
No. Wait a minute. We all understand data is money now. Data is fungible. And that's only true. Bitcoin is data. That's money. That's fungible. So we know data is money. So if you're exchanging data, if your campaign is exchanging data, which is money, which is fungible, and who knows what else, with a foreign entity to subvert our government, that's aid and comfort. So that's aid, I would think. I'm not a lawyer.
Does it comfort Vlad Pooty Poot to see the European alliance that has kept his country in check from rolling over Western Europe fall to pieces? Does it aid and comfort big bad Vladdy Daddy to see the United States descend into madness and chaos?
Listen, I remember this. You made me think so hard, I got quiet on Thursday when I talked with you because we were talking about Turkey. Because, I was like, well, yeah, they're going to get Crimea. That was their land anyway. But then when you brought up the Bosphorus, in Turkey, now, come on, we can't have that. See, he can't be trusted. We don't know how much money Putin has. I didn't mean to cut you off, but this is really getting unsettling now. Like, and who knows? 2.5? We don't know what. Man, listen. Submarines and satellites are where it's at right now. And we don't know what kind of information this mentally ill dotard has given to Russian operatives. And he might just flee to Russia. Now, this is what I was trying to cut you off earlier. I'm thinking this guy, take his passport. He's just an unconvicted felon at this point. Please go on. Please talk.
That's the thing though. If because again, this is one of those moments where you're dealing with very highly trained 18th century minds doing the best they can to anticipate whatever might come forward, but it was absolutely impossible to possibly just about everybody except maybe Benjamin Franklin that someday the pictures would talk. And so that line in there. No person shall be convicted of treason unless on the testimony of two witnesses to the same overt act. Well, what if a few tens of millions of us witnessed the same overt act when we saw him in the White House talking to Sergei Lavrov and whoever the other was?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
Now, on the other hand, you can't convict him of treason based on what he said in those secret meetings with Putin, because there's only one translator there.
And once again, why is he going to try to retreat?
Why do you suppose there was only one translator there? He doesn't know shit from Shinola about the Constitution, Todd.
And
somebody has advised him to never do anything with Putin with any more than one person in the room besides him and Putin. Because we're never going to be able to drag Putin's interpreter into a U.S. court.
Never. And remember, the Russians had the news of what happened in the meeting before we did. We had to tap into Russian media. See? They have people on the ground all over here in our country. You know, how many people do we have on the ground there?
Have you ever watched the Russians? I mean, the Americans?
No, I haven't.
You've heard my buddy Dan on the program a few times.
I have, and that's when I have a friend that watches it. But you know, I'm afraid that I'll get sucked in. You know, I'll get sucked in.
Here's the interesting thing though. That show starts in 2013.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
Yeah. And the storyline...
You know why I said that, right?
Yeah, I do. But the storyline begins to subtly shift. And so season four is roughly 2016, and season five is 2017, and season six, the final season, is last year.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So it's close, like House of Cards was close. Oh, my goodness. Okay. See, you got me. Okay. I'm going to start with that then.
And
I think I can start with that.
It really is a real mind twister of a program. It's very well done. But to go back to the treason language.
I just don't want to sound crazy. I want to absolve myself. The reason I said shut the fuck up, Donnie, is because we're talking about media, like film media. And I keep thinking about, you know, some folks have not seen The Big Lebowski at least five times or whatever. And, I mean, when John Goodman, you know, every whatever, how many interactions, shut the fuck up, Donnie. You know, and this is what someone needs to say to the president. So,
yeah, no. I think there needs to be a proliferation of "Shut the Fuck Up, Donnie" T-shirts with Trump's picture on it, all over the country.
I would love that.
I'm having a blast with my Big Lebowski sweater that I got for Christmas.
Is that the one I saw at the laundromat?
Yeah.
Oh man, I love that sweater. I was going to tell you that. I think that's that's happiness. It exudes. I showed that picture to my better half, and she said, "Oh, they look so happy." I said, "Yep."
No, you know, we had a hot date Saturday night at the laundromat. It doesn't get much better than that. But
you know what? When you're with who you love, you know what? It doesn't matter. That's the thing.
Precisely.
When you're with who you love, it doesn't.
Precisely. So later on, we Sheetz is the Western Pennsylvania equivalent of Wawa in Eastern PA, right?
Hell yeah, man, and they're spotless. I love Sheetz.
We've got a Sheetz, and I walked into Sheetz because I have become dangerously addicted to their deep-fried mac and cheese bites. Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Bad things, man. But, so I'm standing there with my back to the outside glass, mm-hmm. and Agnes just takes a, and you know, my hair is kind of hanging long in the back, long and white, and She takes a picture from and just texts it to me. It says, "Dude sighting in Fayetteville," and it was a good laugh was had by all.
Oh man!
Yeah,
it is that sweater. That was it. All you needed was a light. I'm not trying to spoil things, Scott.
He's seen it once, but it didn't have the impact on him it does for some of us.
It can't. Come on, that's not a one. It's not that type of movie.
It really does get better with the second, third, fourth, fifth, and tenth viewings.
Because there's a lot, you know, there's stuff going on.
Because
you know,
There are layers.
There are layers, exactly.
And so. We're contemplating. Soon there will be a picture of me holding a quart of half and half in the dairy aisle at Kroger in the sweater. So, and I'm growing the beard back out.
That's what I'm talking. Fuck you, mighty.
But back to what we were talking about. Darlene in Connecticut, Todd says, don't forget that Raw story from early last year you discussed on your program that the NSA has known for some time that Trump was a foreign agent of Russia. The New York Times' story is kind of old news. Well, yeah, for all of us, it read like old news. We've had three solid days of breathlessness over an article that basically gave us one more detail of what we've suspected all along. If in fact we can define Russia, who attacked unprovoked this country in 2016, because cyber attacks are real attacks, if we can define a country that attacks the United States unilaterally as an enemy, then everything Donald Trump has done has provided aid and comfort to them. And he becomes, and we find ourselves back in Article 2, Section 4, the president shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason.
Mm-hmm.
And so consequently, to loop the whole thing back around, that's why I'm suggesting, I don't necessarily know that it's the political right thing to do, but if you blink at it, then when are you ever going to charge it? What, the next time some Democrat gets a Hummer? But we're going to say that giving aid and comfort to a tyrannical autocrat oligarchic dictator in Russia is no fucking biggie.
You're right. We're looping this back around. That's exactly why I kept saying he has to have some cane. I said if Clinton, and I'm not defending what he did. He was in charge. That is, you're not supposed to do that. What he did, how you know? But the whole thing was just, it was blown out of proportion. So if they went through that procedure for that, then we're dealing with, you know, things that are harming. This person has wrecked. He and his minions are wrecking this country. You know, he hadn't doing what he was doing. You know, he wasn't harming the country. It's a different type of animal. And so I'm glad you brought this back to, you know, full circle, because that's the thing. So this is the way, maybe the clinical way to approach it. You can take the emotion out of it and say, well, look, this is just the Constitution. This is the law. This is what, you know, you folks, you know what I mean, the folks on the other side of the aisle, our friends, always talk about, you know, law and order and the Constitution and, you know, this is it. Is this where you're going with that, the argument?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, well, I don't know. I'm still not convinced. I'm telling you, Washington Journal, man, there are a lot of people that will never.
Well, no, there. And the thing is, the hotter it gets and the closer it gets, the meaner they're going to get. And those of us who are not directly impacted by the shutdown, I don't think we fully understand the gravity of the situation. I mean, it's not just people who are and affected by the shutdown does not mean only contractors and government employees. It means the people whose rent subsidies will not be paid because HUD is fucking shut down and the landlords are like, fuck you.
I have a friend who cannot get a house right now. Her house, she was just about to get a larger house. Got a new kid. Can't get the house now because all the people who process that paperwork, they're not there right now. So, Steve in Georgia Stan, he probably heard this morning. There are a lot of the trumpeteers that call in and say, it's not affecting me. Shut it down. They're making too much money anyway. See, that's what I'm saying. These people have no idea. This is what I don't get. We know they're illogical. Our population grows almost every year. The other day I saw a blurb in the news that we're reaching like Japan where we're not repopulating it, you know, at a good rate. But still, even with automation, you need more people to service our population. Our population is growing, you know, and we've been cutting back. We don't come on, Bob. We're around the same age. You know, we've cut. Even Clinton cut. Maybe there was fat. There's no fat anymore. Believe me, there is no more fat. You got 50 kids in the classroom, 38 kids in the classroom. Come on. The guy on NPR today, I heard, they interviewed an English teacher. He's complaining in L.A. about he has 38 kids. Man, when I was teaching, look, there was 50 kids in the classroom. There were 50 children in a classroom at times. 50. You cannot educate 50 people unless you're in a college classroom where people are motivated. You cannot educate 50 young people in a classroom. That's one person, that's impossible. That's bullshit. So anyway, please tell me more about the Constitution and what can be done.
Well, it's not that it's a matter of possibilities, Todd. Irish Dave just said, under the heading of any kind of stick to beat a mean dog, I favor bribery, since bribery is mentioned specifically, since there's often a paper trail and such as. And bribery doesn't have the proof requirements treason does. I think Dave's point is very well taken. The problem with bribery is that you have to show an actual quid pro quo. And thanks to, and isn't it funny how this all just, you know, wraps up? Thanks to Anthony Kennedy, who wrote the damned opinion in Citizens United, he declared that a quid pro quo or the giving of money and the performance of an act does not create the appearance of impropriety or an actual quid pro quo. So under a ruling,
wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, yeah, bribery
no,
isn't.
It doesn't.
Yeah, he ruled bribery isn't bribery.
What you just said is convoluted. It makes no sense.
Well, I didn't say it was well reasoned.
That's a better way to put it. No, it was not.
Let me see if I can find the exact quote. Somebody probably can.
Because that's Well, and see, that's the other thing. We see all this stuff, but it's hard to prove things. You know, people have done wrong things, but can you prove? But that's why fiduciary, things that deal with money, are easy to prove because most of the time they're binary. Either you had the money or you didn't. Or you said you didn't have the money and you did. Or you said the money came from A and it came from B. You know, and that's easy to prove. But, you know, think about charging.
Here. Here's the quote. We now conclude that independent expenditures, including those made by corporations, do not give rise to corruption or the appearance of corruption.
Oh, my God. What shit. What an ass. Oh, wait a minute. And this is the same person who set his son up. I mean, there's evidence. there's evidence that, that one could construe to mean that he set his son up for an open position. I mean, he set himself up to open that position for a certain person, is what I'm saying. Because there's some money behind, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, right?
Right. But
so, oh my God, you know, Anthony Kennedy was not the sheep that people make him out to be.
Oh no, not at all. But I think that holding, in because he says including corporations, he doesn't say, but not including foreign governments. Those campaign contributions from foreign governments are illegal. Straight up, no questions asked. And yet Donald Trump was running around asking for, among other things, in-kind contributions from foreign governments like, Russia, if you're listening, I hope you can find Hillary's 30,000 missing emails. That is an actual campaign request for an in-kind contribution, and it's illegal as fuck.
So you're saying that that's good fodder, good evidence kind of erase this whole slate, like what you said Dr. Bill said?
Well, because that's never been contemplated, and there's really no legal mechanism for doing a do-over, a clean slate.
No, there's not. But that's clear evidence for campaign finance fraud. Maybe not fraud. I don't know what the right term is. But, yeah, so the thing is, this is, you know, like we don't even know how bad this is yet. This is all we see. And if it's this bad, what we see, you know, I don't know, man. This guy might flee to Russia because this is really going to get up. He could not say no yesterday. Janine Pirro, what the hell was that she – what was she wearing, by the way?
I saw a woman being catty to her on. She looked like she was wearing her dress for her walk of shame the next morning.
The dress is okay. The dress is fine. I think it's the venue, and maybe it didn't fit her properly. The off the shoulder thing, I don't know. It was either something was off or it was her shoulder. I don't know, but it wasn't doing it. I don't know. It didn't look right. But whatever. Who knows, man? It's Fox. Who knows what goes on there?
Well,
so what else is going on?
Ain't that enough? Darlene says, what Trump did with the interpreter in Helsinki and with at least four other locations where he met with Putin is unbelievably incendiary. He's concealing something, and who knows? It could have been at Putin's request that the interpreter be muzzled. Do you really think that Trump was that aware or detail-oriented to think to take the interpreter's notes and tell her to maintain secrecy unless he was worried about what was discussed there? Quite frankly, that was his mistake. He should have had a Russian interpreter who knew English be the only interpreter in the room. That would have given him complete cover, if you think about it. This cannot be allowed to go unexamined. The woman who is innocent in all of this, the interpreter, will have to be brought up before Congress to testify as to what she knows. I feel for her, but we need to get to the bottom of this because what Trump did, this concealment of a record of a conversation with an adversary power, is completely outside of protocol, as a former national security advisor had indicated. Can you imagine if President Obama had done this? No, I don't even want to try to think about that. The conniption would be heard on Norblap 9. Okay, interestingly, the House is apparently pursuing the idea of taking her testimony. On the other hand, the Senate has said, via precious Lindsey Graham from somewhere under the fainting couch, we're not going to do that because that would prevent the president from being able to have candid meetings with foreign leaders. Yes.
No, I think Darlene is absolutely correct. I mean, you know what? It's not our fault that this president decided to make new oceans in which to sail his ship. In other words, we're in uncharted territory. So that being the case, then we have to do unconventional things. You know, we didn't have to ask the interpreter before because we didn't have to worry about it. but he can't be trusted. Just like with this wall business. You know, he wants some money out of that. That's all that is. That's all that is. It's bullshit. But yes, we that interpreter has to be questioned. You know, you know what? We haven't even seen how bad this is going to be. This looks awful. This looks worse than awful. This is like so bad to us because we're thinkers. It's almost like everything needs to stop now. We need to realign our government. We need to have Congress. Congress can run the government. We don't really need a president. Congress can run the government. And going back to what, you know, it's funny. You and I started talking about Mitch McConnell a couple months ago. Look how he has, like you've been saying, he has become one of the most influential people in the past 50 years. And I'm not in a good way, obviously, but look what he has done. Look at the mischief he has partaken in.
Yeah.
He's an evil fuck. No, I don't know. But something's going to have to happen. Congress is going to have to. I think maybe it's going to take a call-in campaign. We have to call everyone. The Senate, our representatives. We have to call our representatives about Stephen King.
Well, there is some breaking news. I had a note just a little bit ago from Jack in Shreveport, about 25 minutes ago. GOP leadership says King won't serve on committees. I saw it on Hardball as breaking news.
All right. That's a good start.
Now, if they stick to their guns on that, then the next logical thing is for Kevin McCarthy to, and it'll gall him because he's as nasty as King is. He's just a different kind of nasty. He's California nasty, not Iowa Klansman nasty. He goes to Steve's office or invites him to the congressional dining room and says, you know, you're vested for your pension. You got health care for the rest of your life. You're Richard shit now that you've been in Congress for a while. It's time to say goodbye, Steve.
Good. You know where other Steve is kind of starting to kind of rot and overripen, and I feel sorry for him. He got shot, but Steve Scalise has been. You know, it didn't take him long to be all nasty again.
Oh no! Hey, look, when he first came hobbling out of the when he first came hobbling out of the hospital, he was singing the praises of the NRA. And remember, this is one of these traditional family values assholes who got his miserable life saved by a married lesbian lady.
Oh.
Cop.
Yeah, they had to sew all his colon up, man. He was leaking from everywhere. I mean, and here he is.
Well, damn, assault rifle does some serious damage.
What is wrong with these people, man? I just don't understand. I'm just tired, and they still don't see the problem. They're like, why do you keep hating on Trump? Listen, NPR this afternoon. I don't know. It was a 10 o'clock show, maybe. I don't know, but a perfectly reasonable sounding individual, however, a pro-Trumper, and he could not understand all this Russia business, and why is everyone keep beating up on Trump. And even Manga Kavarti, I think her name is. She went, oh. And you know, you're not supposed to do that. You know, you're supposed to be in the middle. But she guffawed. And, you know, it's just like, we have to not let this shit be normal anymore. We have to just say no. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if it hurts your feelings, people, but you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong, you're ignorant, and it's not my fault. And maybe it's not your fault, but you need to improve and just shut the fuck up and let the, you know, intelligent people run things. But they don't want to hear that. And maybe I'm not saying that in the nicest way. But.
But I mean, we have a real live, honest to God, no kidding crisis in this country. And as hard as we're trying, we're only scratching the surface. And God alone knows, which means no one does, what comes next.
Well,
I mean, take a moment. He got up this morning and didn't know where he was going. I've talked about, just on Friday, I mentioned last week, I mentioned the 125th
anniversary,
the 125th anniversary of my grandmother's birth, and when she came to the end of her life, there was not much mind left. And if she could find her shoes, she would go walk about, even if she didn't know where she was going. Donald Trump got up this morning. He had a trip planned to go speak to the Farm Bureau, and Donald Trump got up this morning and did not know where he was going.
Oh, my God.
He got up this morning and put out a tweet saying, can't wait to get to Nashville. I love Tennessee. Great country, great place. I can't wait to talk to the farmers. Only problem was he was going to New Orleans. And then there's that weird business with Air Force One just kind of sitting there dewless like on the runway for an hour.
Damn. And how long does it take for him to get his hair together?
Oh, that's two. But he did. But see, he was no. That was all done before he ever left the White House. I mean, they don't take him out in his Darth Vader helmet and then do the hair later.
It's not funny, man. So, oh my goodness. All right. So really, who? I guess Stephen Miller. John Bolton. Well, is our country being run by committee now, or just a tweet? Because the president's statements often do not jibe with department heads' policy. I don't know. Am I wrong there? I don't know.
I don't know if you can call it running. I mean, this is just an incoherent wad of insecurities and hatreds passing itself off as an administration.
But, all right. At what point are enough the GOPers in the Senate going to come around? I don't know. What do you think? I think it could come. I think if this gets with the mental illness.
The problem with impeachment is that it still has to go over to the Senate. And there was Lindsey Graham today saying, and of course, Julius Geiser shot him down. He said, let's pass a bill that'll open the government for 3 weeks to give the Democrats a chance to negotiate with us. And then, if they don't negotiate and don't give you your money, you can declare a national emergency. And Trump said,
no, that won't do. We're going to do this. We're going to settle this.
And then a couple of days ago in a negotiating meeting in the White House in the Situation Room, Mick Mulvaney stood up and said, okay, you're at 1.8, what will you come to? You know, can you come up a little bit? And Trump looks at him and goes, Mick, you fucked it all up already. You fucked it all up.
Oh, man.
Because, see, he'll, you know,
Graham,
when you talk about issues of counterintelligence and espionage and shit like that, the word burn means something. And the thing is, people are slowly figuring out that Trump will burn anybody.
Anybody.
Eventually, he may very well burn Don Jr.
Oh, he's going to have to. Oh, no. He
But look, see, now you've got some. Katie Turr interviewed Brett Stevens on MSNBC today, and well, frankly, you know, Brett Stevens. Remember, he's the wingnut welfare hire from the Washington or from the Wall Street Journal, who was brought on over at the New York Times. He denies that there's a campus rape problem. He denies climate change. And and his world was wonderful until Trump came along. So now he has to be an anti-Trumper. And he's out there telling Katie Turr, who seems like a pretty decent reporter, that impeachment is always a political question. But, yeah, answering the question, is impeachment a more realistic possibility today? The evidence is mounted, he said, now on the core issue that matters to actually a critical mass of Republicans, which is the Russia question. It is not about finance violations or Stormy Daniels or any of those stories. Is the president actually in some way colluding inadvertently or advertently with a foreign adversary? So that makes it much more likely. In fact, it makes it more likely that you will find Senate Republicans taking it seriously, too. And I call bullshit, because here's the thing. Donald Trump will burn anyone. And the thing is, the reason Mitch McConnell is behaving the way he is, the reason Lindsey Graham is behaving the way he is, the reason John Cornyn and Rafaelito Cruz and all the Republican Senate caucus are behaving the way they are, is they were all the beneficiaries of the massive money laundering scheme with illegal money from Russia being funneled through the National Rifle Association into their pockets.
Yep.
And Trump will burn them to the ground.
Yep. I believe that. I believe that. You said it beautifully. Look. Now it's all coming together. That, you know, Butina. Look, that's a big deal.
Well, we found out over the weekend, among other things, that the whole NRA scam with her infiltrating the NRA was approved by the Kremlin. This wasn't some little Judy Garland, Mickey Rooney, let's put on a play in my uncle's old barn. This was a Kremlin intel operation. And we say so much about the NRA. Let's not forget they also infiltrated the National Day of Prayer breakfast.
See, oh my goodness, what a great analogy. Because a lot of those folks have been subverted, coverted by Russian money. They don't even know it. Just like if they want to say, okay, Donald Trump didn't know it. Yeah, but you were under the influence. You didn't know it. You were taking the money. You didn't know it. You know, you were on your Facebook because, remember, a frightening amount of people, once again, a statistically significant amount of people get their news, like what they believe from social media, which means it could be a post on Facebook. And, you know, I'm not on it. I know how it works. You know, I go on to people's pages when they want me to read something, but I'm like, this is a good place to get a suggestion to read about something. But you can't just take that as it's a fact. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, if you want to post funny stuff, animated, you know, things, that's great. But that, you know, you got to, so, all right, I'm blabbing on, but I'm so, yeah. They've been using this analogy on TV, you know, and it's true, I guess. This is the tip of the iceberg. This is getting more sour by the day. You know, this is going to be unpalatable at some point.
And see, there are a few people who are beginning to feel a little itchy about William Barr's nomination to be Attorney General.
Oh, that fucker? We remember him. Oh, no. He's a piece of shit. Fuck him. Oh, did I say that?
Okay. But today he said he would not interfere with the Mueller investigation. But remember, this is the guy who finally put paid to the Iran-Contra investigation so that it couldn't reach George H.W. Bush.
He got in the way. I remember that.
And so a lot of people walked and got pardoned, and then he killed the investigation, and it was over.
Barr's Barr. I remember that. Yep. Look at the damage that whole thing did to the country. Look at that. So...
Well, I don't want to hear a bunch more, but, well, you know, so far it seems the Republic's fairly robust. We've borne up under all of this madness. Bullshit. Because, see, in the back of my mind, Todd, is always one little fact. Somebody's going to come along and do everything Trump's done and be competent about it.
It's scary, Bob.
I don't know if it'll be a Tom Cotton or a Ben Sasse, a different kind of Republican. You don't know. But he is out there. Or she.
Hey, man, how's your acorn?
I gotta get enough dry weather to crawl around underneath it and see what's going on there, but I'll probably wind up replacing some portion of it. That thing should not have rusted out that way in the course of, you know, 2 years.
No, I know you take care of it. I mean, that's
well. Like I mean, that's the thing. That's the thing, though. There's no way to take care of that thing. I mean, you wipe it down. You make sure there's no ash on it, just like you empty it out after you're done using it and everything. And you
and
wipe
it
down. Maybe hit it with a little, you know, hit it with a little canola oil. You know, but in the long run, it's unprotectable.
You know. Well, I don't know, you already done this, I guess. You know, you got online and typed in, does anybody else have this problem, like on YouTube or something?
No, I haven't done anything like that because I've got to see what's actually going on underneath it first.
Yeah, you did say that. You know, it's amazing that, you know, I never knew. I saved the ashes now, wood ash, you know, because, well, my friend up the street, so she moved, you know, she used to make her own soap and she would use those ashes because it turns into lye. You know, it's like, I guess, you know, sulfuric acid or hydrochloric acid. I don't know, I forget which one. But it's good to sprinkle around when you don't want weeds along the fence or, you know, it's good to save ash because it will destroy your growth. But that's, you know, God don't know. Ugh. Well, look, man, I'm babbling on, and I'm maybe someone wants to talk to you before the end of the program. I don't know, man. I'm unnerved because it's a statistically significant amount of our population. It's just not alarmed and comfortable.
Well, look, I saw some polling data today. Number of people who support the Trump shutdown, 36%. Hey, look, that's the same number as there are maggots.
And that's what I'm saying. That's what your mentor calls them, dead enders.
Yeah.
Yeah, what Mike calls them.
No, that's me, dead enders. Hard cases.
Dead enders. Yeah, that's just it. And, you know, and they have offspring, and they raise their kids, and they don't want them talking to those folks. But this stuff I hear in the morning, man, is frightening. Do you understand the past couple of days, and Stephen Georgistan knows this because he's heard it, we've had people call in, you know I'm talking about, WJ.
Yeah.
And say, well, we need to have, like, machine gun posts, like in World War I. And just as soon as they get close, just shoot them down. I'm like, my God, what is wrong with these people? And we're not even supposed to be paying for this stupid-ass wall, which is, I mean, look, let's be honest. There's a middle ground. There's probably places, of course, there's places where you want a real wall, of course. Like right around a port of entry, you want a wall. Of course, duh. But to even think you're going to have a wall from the whole strip, whatever, 2,500 miles, how many miles it is, that's just silly. That's because there's tunnels, I don't have to say that. But the whole thing is silly, and it's all about really semantics and operational definitions. If folks could just get together and come to a conclusion that he is not going to have what he thinks is a wall. That's just not going to happen. It doesn't mean you don't believe in border security. That's just, you know, they're not mutually exclusive. And he doesn't know what that means, so you have to tell him what that means. But so, I mean, that's just what has to happen because our food, man, this is exactly what Russia wants. This is awful. People are not, the ripple effects, man, this is fucked up. And the stock market's already fucked. Everything's about to drop out anyway. This is crazy. How much snow did you get anyway?
Oh, next to none. It's been negligible. I mean,
you're kidding me.
Just a dusting.
DC got smacked.
Yeah, I tweeted about it. The snow, I'm sitting here in the White House, and the snow is so beautiful on the lawn and the Rose Garden. I wish there was some way I could show it to all of America. But
you know what? Once in a while, I go to Twitter and check his account. And you know what people forget? I guess a lot of people. I don't know. You probably didn't forget. But in the beginning of his administration, they made it clear that his tweets were official record. And the government was obliged to keep them. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Now, they stopped doing it for some stupid reason, but Mueller didn't stop. So I just don't know. You know, what is it going to take? Something has to happen. This is just absolutely just out of control. You know, I don't know what to say.
I know. Well, I got one last thing for you, and it's a visual. And Kitty in Boston reminded me of it. It's a photograph of Trump being interviewed outside by the life support system for a haircut, the Hannity job. And, of course, Trump is playing his imaginary accordion. You know how he does that with both hands back and forth?
His Mussolini accordion.
And so you can see in the photograph the back of his right hand and the cuff of his president and jacket has moved up his hand a little bit. It was obviously down. It was meant to be like down around his knuckles. But the jacket's pulled back a little bit. And there's a bandage on his hand that appears to have a little blood spot coming through it. On the back of his hand.
On the back, like his wrist area?
No. The back of his, hold your...
Oh, on the top, like that's where they put an IV in.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, no, we can't have, oh, my goodness. Well, you know, it's just, I'm weary. The mental illness, the totally evident drug abuse.
As I told Kitty, I don't think he cut himself shaving.
Man, oh my God.
And Sailor Chick in the chat room saying the same thing. Bob, that's an IV. Steve from Georgistan, drip IV.
Oh God.
I hate it when they put it in the back of your hand because that shit hurts worse than having it in your arm.
It takes forever to heal, and it just makes you feel sick. I hate that feeling. I know what you mean.
He is he's degenerating. If I was an odds maker, I don't know. I don't think this is illegal. If let's say I was going to a bookie in, say, London, I don't think I would be misplaced in saying maybe putting, a 10-pound note on the idea that he does not live to see 2020. Now, what kind of odds you'd get, I don't know.
Bob,
but it's been fairly obvious. I'm not kidding, Todd. I think they're struggling to get the fucking the dosage.
That makes a lot. Think about it. It's just keeping him juiced up, man. He's up, he's down. He's up, he's down.
Right. They can't get the dosage straight.
Oh my God, we're in trouble. Oh my God.
And you know, Mike Pence is back there.
That crazy fucker.
See, that's the other thing. We may yet see a triggering of the 25th Amendment that doesn't come from mental stuff. Because the 25th Amendment gets triggered if he's so much as unconscious for a colonoscopy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that shit's already happened. I mean, you do the 25th Amendment thing anytime the president is not going to be conscious.
Right. Right. That's why they had to create that whole amendment. They figured, wow, you know, we hadn't thought about this. You know, when Kennedy was, before he died. Well, let me be quiet. Maybe it was before that. But I know what you mean. Yeah.
Wait a minute. I got to give out a cowbell. That goes to Andy the Angry Jew, who just said, pray he doesn't have the Keith Richards gene.
Oh, shit.
No. See, Keith did not live on McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken for 50 years.
Well, that's what I can't understand. You know, I'm just like, man, he's just a day away from a stroke.
Remember, remember, he loves McDonald's because it's anonymously produced, and he is mortally terrified of being poisoned.
Of course he is. All these motherfuckers should be.
Well, you would be too if you were in the tender mercies of Big Bad Vladdy Daddy.
Man, I'm scared to death, but they don't give a fuck. You know, the Iceman was mostly clean about his stuff. You know, I forget his real name, Kuklinski. You know, he was using something similar to that. Kuklinski, you know, the Iceman?
Yeah.
And he was getting it from the Russian mob. That clear, odorless liquid that you would put on, like, the door handle of somebody's car, or just kind of spray it in their face, or just get it in their body and make sure it didn't get on you. But they're sloppy, man. We had children die. This is what happens when you let the system get subverted. This is what happens when people don't do their job. The Electoral College has been dropping the ball. And that's why last time we talked on Thursday, I told you, I was like, man, I saw this commercial about the Electoral College. They didn't mention shit about slavery. This shit is antiquated and it's fucked up. And you see, they're not doing their job. Now, how many elections have we had where the popular vote did not match the Electoral College? What is second, third? How many?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No. That's okay. I'm sitting here trying to figure out what would he need that they would have to put in the back of his hand.
Well, let's look at him. Now that we know, now we're pretty much sure that he's snorting Adderall.
Well, if you go and you watch the video of him today in New Orleans, he's flatter than piss on a plate. And he slurs. Has he already had the stroke? Think about his pupils. On the one hand, his left last week, his right eye squinted so damn near shut you can't see his pupil. His left eye is normal and staring into fucking broadcast TV lights, it's as big as a hen's egg.
Now, I did see that. That's why I brought up the stroke. Right. Right.
I mean, this is not okay. But hey, let me knock off here and take one last call before we go.
Sure, Bob. Man, it was great talking with
you. Oh, it's a great conversation, Todd. It always is. We always find it very, very interesting and intriguing things to discuss because there's so damn much of it out there.
Bye now.
Later. That's our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan. And in the last, by the way, we still got $200 to raise this evening. New subscribers are always welcome, either at Patreon or at PayPal, or just, you know, whatever you feel like doing. Let's go check in with Scott. Hey, Scott. Yep. Scott. Yeah. Oh, okay. Let's go to the other place then. Hey,
Sorry
Scott.
About that.
That's okay.
Yeah, I hit the wrong switch. Wait a minute. Come on, watch out, kitty. The cat's not impressed with winter. I guess it's finally here. Rainy, cold, gray, bleh. Anyway, all right. Well, I don't know. I had a few things for Todd, but I see the old clock on the wall. I'll squeeze in whatever I can. Old business for Todd. He brought it up last week. He wondered why I don't talk about the tunnels, the drug tunnels coming in from Mexico, being so close to the border. We get them. There are reports about them every few months, and they're pretty elaborate, decked out pretty nicely, I guess because of all that drug money. But, you know, we find them and we close them up. No big deal. It's just day in, day out here in San Diego. Big Lebowski is on Netflix now. So I'll watch it again, maybe 3 or 4 more times, and let it really sink in.
That's when the magic really happens.
Yeah. Well, you're right. It's one of those films where you really do have to see it. I'd have to just have a slight bit of disagreement with you in terms of the Iowa voters and Steve King and how they should be, like, disenfranchised if they don't know how to play right. I don't know, Bob. I always look at it from our side saying, well, what if they tried to do that to us for whatever trumped-up reason they would want to give for having done it? My way of thinking is, you know, if you're over 18 and you're a U.S. citizen and you can legally vote, you should be allowed to do it. And, yes, that does open up the door for voters making poor choices. But I'll give you 3 places and a number, okay? And I don't mean to beat the dead horse, but here are the numbers. Here are the places. Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and the number is 79,316.
Right.
That's the margin that Trump won by in 2016. If we can't manage to scrounge up 79,317 voters or more in those pivotal states, then shame on us. I hate to be a hard nose about it.
Well, I understand your point, but I don't think it's quite that simple. You had people who ran to the polls and voted for Jill Stein, thinking that the other people who would go ahead and vote for Hillary Clinton would take care of it for them, because the Stein voters didn't want Trump. They just wanted somebody else to do their work for them. So that's one.
That's what Trump did today in terms of his confusion about the destination. He pulled a Jill Stein. Didn't she have a deal? She couldn't figure out Columbus from Cleveland.
Cincinnati yeah. From Columbus, right, yeah.
And here in my best Mr. Rogers voice, you talk about the bandage on Trump's hand and the little spot of blood. Can you say Thorazine drip? I knew you could. They've got him on something. I don't know. Whatever it is, I don't want any. Because there's good drugs and there's bad drugs. And whatever he's on is some bad shit. That's worse than the brown acid or whatever that stuff was going around Woodstock many moons ago. But I feel for Todd. I mean, there are times in life when the shit gets piled so high that you just don't see that there's any way to dig out of it. And So I have great empathy for people who are feeling like, holy shit, how are we ever going to manage to get out of this? Well, we'll get out of this by getting out of this. And here's the good news. We're just about halfway through with the Trump administration. In just a mere matter of days, we will have hit the halfway point, boys and girls. We got fun. What we need to do is behave in a manner that's consistent with never letting anything remotely close to this ever happen again. And by God, we can do it. It's just a matter of choosing that and taking all the steps that we need to take to see it through. And 2020, I wish people would just shut up a while, give us about 9 months of quiet in terms of 2020. Just today, one of my Facebook friends was marveling at people going gaga over Kamala Harris, and I'm sure she's fine. But I'm running all the Democratic candidates through a filter as we approach 2020. I'm running them through the filter. How fairly did they treat Al Franken a few years ago when he had his difficulties? Because if they'll stab an insider in the back, or hell, in the front, in the case of Franken, what regard can they possibly have for little old me and little old you? And people say, well, you know, let bygones be bygones. Fuck that.
Well, I'm trying to keep my mouth shut on presidential contenders for as long as I possibly can, because from where I sit, there will be no right answers.
Well, and not only that, but that's not the
so I'm supporting my party's nominee in November of 2020. Of that, there is no doubt.
All right, me too. Okay, and I may have to do like I did in 2016 and hold my nose while I fill out my ballot. But that's what I'll do. But the thing is, the main task right now is not who to elect in 2020. The main task right now is to say bye-bye, the ultimate bye-bye to Mr. Donald J. Trump. And I think the answer, you were talking about the snowfall on the beautiful White House lawn earlier. I think the answer is before us. It's simple. It's what I've come to call the Jack Torrance solution. And if you've seen the movie, The Shining, you know where I'm going. Build a hedge all over the White House lawn, a hedge maze, and get Trump to chase you into it. Give him a little bit of an advantage because he's got to waddle on through there, and run his ass ragged through the hedge. And maybe we can have a frozen Trump, a Trumpsicle. How's that? Orange on the white side, brilliantly white on the inside. So that's pretty much all I got.
You know, or not so brilliantly.
So, I do have one more thing. And I sent this to you, and you can address it tomorrow or something. Talking Points memo says an unnamed senior official in the Trump administration wrote in an anonymous Daily Caller op-ed Monday that the record-breaking 24-day partial government shutdown, quote, is an opportunity to strip wasteful government agencies for good. And they don't know who the senior administration is or how senior he or she is.
That sounds terribly Mick Mulvaney to me.
Well, yeah. But it could be any of them, because that they
because it's been an article of faith in the Republican Party that there doesn't need to be a Department of Education, that there doesn't need to be a Department of Commerce, a Department of Energy, a Department that the only thing we need is the Pentagon, and well, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. So I relate to what I mean, and I feel for what Todd and others are feeling, that you know the shit storm is just too big to even see your way through it. But that the only way out is through. I don't mean to go to all Zen on you, but that's pretty much where we are. That's pretty much where we are, and I don't like it any more than anybody else. But my not liking it doesn't change the reality of the situation. It is what it is, and it ain't what it ain't. That would make a nice fortune cookie message.
Or Yogi Berra, Yogi Berra quote.
Yeah, or my favorite fortune cookie message is it's all bullshit and then you die. I think that sums it up quite nicely.
And you know what? That works if you add in bed to the end of it, which is the ultimate test of a fortune cookie fortune. They all make more sense if they all make more sense if you add in bed to the end of it.
Well, let's see. The horse's dad stopped beating it in bed. I don't know. I don't want no horses' heads or asses or middles in bed with me. Thank you very much.
And okay, just one thing on the way out the door, because we need a moment of shallowness and vacuity.
Wait a minute. Haven't we been doing that?
No. We've been
in our description of Trump for the last 3 hours.
No. That's been serious radio. The story out there about the fact that he is welcoming, because it's a thing presidents do, welcoming the national champion Clemson Tigers, who beat my beloved Crimson Tide, to the White House. And, well, here's the soundbite.
President, as he heads to New Orleans answering reporter questions, here he is.
Beautiful. It's beautiful. It's too bad they took the snow off the ground. Too bad. It was more beautiful last night. I'll be going to New Orleans right now. I'm going to be speaking in front of our great farmers. I look forward to that. I did it last year, and I look forward to it.
Our great farmers. The shitty farmers can stay home.
So we'll be back a little bit later. I believe, I don't know if the weather changes things, but the Clemson championship team, the national championship team, will be coming tonight. It'll be exciting. Very great team, an unbelievable team. They'll be coming tonight. And I think we're going to serve McDonald's, Wendy's, and Burger King's with some pizza. I really mean it. It'll be interesting. And I would think that's their favorite food.
Well, Five Guys would be preferable to McDonald's, Wendy's, and pizza.
Well, but I mean, let's take a minute now. I mean, this is not 1927 when the Babe would stop and eat 32 hot dogs on the way to the ballpark with a bone-crushing hangover from the 97 beers he drank the night before.
Yeah.
These athletes are tuned to a state of near physical perfection. And their training table at Alabama, Clemson, you know, they eat better than they will ever eat for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, because they need, their bodies require premium food for premium performance.
Yeah, and there's a nutritionist or dozen on staff.
Right.
And so you've got, you know, steak and pulled pork and, food. And this dunderhead? I mean, who put this menu together? Stephen Miller? Here's the fun part. What he's doing is he's being cheap about it, because if he puts the White House chefs to work, A, that might be affected by the shutdown, but B, it comes out of the first family budget.
Yeah, there you go.
A bunch of meatheads coming in, they're jocks, you know, we'll give them some fucking hamburgers.
I hope the team has the good sense to gracefully pass on the invitation.
Oh, no, they've already been.
Oh, all right.
And
I've got a quick...
And Mike in Cascadia sent me these pictures of Trump standing weirdly erect in front of, like, silver platters with fucking quarter pounders on them.
Jeez.
I mean, there's a silver platter with 24 Big Macs stacked up.
God.
And oh, my God. And, yeah, down at the end of it's Mick Mulvaney.
before we go, Bob, I know that there's a little time left. We're a little into overtime. But here's a homework assignment between now and tomorrow at 6 Eastern. You were mentioning one of the houses, either the House or the Senate. I think the House wants to question the interpreter, Trump's interpreter.
Yes.
Question one is that person a member of the administration, like falling under the executive branch in any way, shape, or form? And B, if not within the White House, does he or she work for an executive branch agency? And that may figure into whether or not they'll be allowed to go before a House panel, because that's something Nixon tried to do with
executive privilege.
Yeah, saying, oh, no, we can't let them go because it comes under executive privilege. So that would be, I don't even know. It's probably somebody from State Department, because they have staff that are all fluent, you know, in various languages. Or they could be a military person or an intelligence person. I just don't know. But it's worth looking into. But the mission here is to put 2020 on hold for a while and look at the task at hand and leave no stone unturned, or in the case of giving pot to seabirds, leave no turn unstoned. Yeah. So that will be that will be my way to go for the immediate future.
All right. Sounds good. Scott, have yourself a good evening, my friend.
You too, Bob. And I hope it warms up so that you can get under the acorn and see what's the matter with that machine.
Well, it's already been remotely diagnosed by James in Illinois, who says that it failed as a result of medical metal fatigue from the heat and the moisture. And,
AKA planned obsolescence.
As a union iron worker, I take James's remote diagnosis as something approaching gospel.
Okay, well, we'll have to set up an acorn fund to get a new acorn, because we cannot have Bob in a non-barbecue roll mode.
It'll ruin my summer.
It'll ruin our summer, because you'll be telling us how much it has ruined your summer.
Oh, I won't take it out. But the other goal, though, is to still get that. I want that 36-inch gas-fueled griddle so I can do teppanyaki al fresco out in the yard.
Well, I've always said right along, if this radio thing doesn't work out, you could open up an eatery that would get 5 stars in my book.
Well, it would probably be a lot of fun, and I would fail miserably at some point in time because I don't, you know.
If you have a catchy name.
Well,
if
you know,
you have a catchy name for it.
Bob's Butts. I mean, you know.
Bob's Butts. There you go. And come up with have an artistic member of the Horn family come up with a logo, you know, a sign out front. I can see it in my mind's eye. I'm drooling. I'm salivating. I'm like Pavlov's dog at the thought of, because you're mean to us, Facebook friends, who see all of these Epicurean delights that you're fixing for your friends and family, and we ain't got nothing. We're chawing on ramen, raw ramen, because that's how we are. We need to suffer.
Yeah, that and you want to suffer. There are people out there who just munch on bricks of ramen, and that is sheer hell on your digestive tract.
Yeah. Of course, now at 10 cents, 12 cents a pack, you could probably build the wall with bricks of ramen. Or build a hedge. I'm hedge fixated today.
Did you read the hedge story about in the New York Times or something?
No, I didn't.
There's an effort to save the Great Britain's hedges. So,
Oh, dear.
With a little two-level effect and a path running down the middle. A path. Yes.
Let's shape them into creatures.
Topiaries. Yes.
Yes.
Because that's
right,
what
Bob.
They are. Scott, you have a good one, man. Take care.
Yeah, okay. See you later.
Later now. Thanks very kindly to Flavio for jumping in this evening. We will knock off and so tomorrow we'll have a $400 fundraising goal. And in the meantime, we'll be back with Titanic Tuesday tomorrow. Who knows what the morning will bring? I wonder if when Julius Caesar welcomed Clemson to the White House, I wonder if he made sure to reach into the bottom of one of the Wendy burgers or one of the Big Macs to make sure they didn't get the poisoned one. God, what a freak. Oh, well, thanks, everybody, for all you do to keep the program going. Thanks to everyone who does. Thank you to our to everybody who participates in the program, however you do, wherever you do, sharing your precious finite time, engaging in this little ongoing conversation. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thanks, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.